Okay, so Ephesians continues the emphasis on believers being imitators of God as beloved children. That's kind of how it started in the verse started. The first way we are to imitate God is in his love, which Paul shows both in its true and its counterfeit forms, with Christ himself being our divine pattern. That was verses 2 through 7, what Pastor taught on last week. In verses 8 through 14, the focus is on our imitating God in relation to light. For a believer to imitate God, they must share in and reflect God's light. I love how Paul used light and darkness to talk about how we should live. And I like that he used that analogy because it's really pretty cool. Okay, so verse 8 says this. For at one time you were darkness. It doesn't say you were in darkness. It says at one time you were darkness. But now you are light. Not in light. You are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. You know, I use the word darkness and light a lot of times when I'm describing the kingdoms of God. I will say, I don't know how I came up with this terminology, but some in the course of me, whatever I'm talking about, I'll say, well, I work for the kingdom of light. Matter of fact, one time I ran into a palm reader and we got into this conversation and she asked me what medium I went through. And so I said, well, I go through Jesus. And so she was, oh, okay, she said. And I said, I work for the kingdom of light. And so I will use that sometimes to refer to stuff like that because I don't work for the kingdom of darkness. I work for the kingdom of light. And that's a really cool analogy when you think about it because if you're using light and darkness, do you know, and I may say this wrong, but do you know that darkness in of itself has no existence? It's just truly the absence of light. Do you catch that? Like darkness by itself wouldn't be anything except it's the absence of light. So where there is no light, there's darkness. And so Paul's saying here that you were darkness, which meant we were born into sin with the absence of light. We were darkness, but now we're the light in the Lord. And so we should walk as children of light. That means, and there's all kind of references I'm not going to go into because of time, but you know, you're like a light, a city on a hill, you know, reflecting God's light. Paul here contrasts what every believer's life was like before salvation with what God intends it to be like after salvation. In doing so, he simply states that what should be obvious. A person who has been saved from sin should be through with sin and should live as a redeemed and purified child of God. To illustrate that point, the apostle uses the common biblical figures of darkness and light. Now, what it doesn't mean, guys, it doesn't mean that we have it all together once we get saved. But it means that now there's the presence of light, which means that darkness will be exposed. Does that make sense? Okay, so here's an illustration. A man returning from a journey bought his wife a matchbox that would glow in the dark. But after giving it to her, she turned out the light, but the matchbox could not be seen. Both thought they had been cheated. Then the wife noticed that there was a small French words on the box, and she asked a friend to translate it. The inscription said, "If you want me to shine in the night, keep me in the light." And have you ever had that? My kids like glow in the dark stuff. And so a lot of times those glow in the dark things are activated by light. So you keep it in the light during the daytime and at night it'll glow, right? Boy, that'll preach right there. I could spend 2 years on that. We need to spend quality time alone with Jesus, the light, in prayer, exposing our lives like a photographic plate to his presence so that his image, his character is burnt into ours. If we do this, we will be like Jesus when he descended from, be like Moses when he descended from the summit of Mount Sinai after being alone with God. And his face, what did it say? Shone like the light of God. And there's something about spending time in the presence of Jesus that will start bringing things to light. And if you don't, if that hasn't happened to you, let me give you a little exercise. Tomorrow morning, whenever, I do it in the morning because number one, I'm not a morning person. That's the biggest sacrifice for me. Number two, it's only time my house is quiet. And so I have teenagers. So it's the only time, because they're not waking up early. So it's the only time I get up and I spend some quiet time with God. And except for that cat who we almost have saved, disturbing my quiet time, he's going to die. If you come in here one more time, Simba, I'm going to cast something out. I told him the other day, just get out while I'm trying to pray. But listen, get alone in the presence of God. And just start reflecting on his character. And literally, it's like a light shining. And then there will come a spirit of repentance over me, over thoughts and things I've said and things I've done. And just try that. Just try. Because basically what his light is his character, his goodness. So you start reflecting on that and the goodness of God and his peace. And then you start seeing things that you're missing. We, way before we got into ministry, when we were young babies in college, there was a summer between, we thought we were going to med school and we graduated college. And so we started, he ended up selling rainbow vacuum cleaners, which was easy for us to sell because I had one my whole life growing up. So I wanted one. Well, part of the demonstration was you put on their vacuum cleaner with the bag and then you would turn it off. And then he had this light he would turn on. And when you turned on the light, you saw all this dust particles that you couldn't see really without the light shining on it. And when I was studying this, I was reminded of that. Like, there are things we can't see with our natural eye. Things about ourselves. Now, there are some things that is like a big tree in the middle of the forest, right? We know that's sin in our life, and we know we need to get it out. But there are things in our lives that we can't really see, and we don't really know. I call them blind spots. We all have them. But you know, the thing about a blind spot is, you're blind to it. You can't see it. And it could be so obvious for somebody else, but God forbid they tell us. I mean, God forbid they tell me. I don't want people telling me about myself, right? So what I do then is I get alone with Jesus. And I say, just me and you, can you shine your light? And then he'll begin to reveal the things about me that are not so pretty, that you can't really see with the naked eye, with the natural eye. And he'll begin to reveal my thought patterns. Matter of fact, he revealed something today that was, I was like, oh, that's ugly. Oh, that's, I used to mentor Jamie. She'd always say, oh, I don't like that ugly about me. You know, sometimes you get a glimpse of that and you're like, God, and I was like, Lord, I don't even want to be that person. And he just shined his light. And that's what Paul's saying here. Look, you were in darkness, but now you're light. Now I'm getting way off my notes, but I feel like I need to say this. So what happens is the more time we spend with Jesus, this is just real practical stuff, guys. We become like that little matchbox. We spend more time with the light, with the real source of light. When we go into the darkness, we start illuminating that. And nowhere can that be seen more than on the subways of New York City. Had to always be on guard, my spirit man, because that was some crazy stuff. But you know what? When you bring light into a dark world, darkness has to flee. When you turn on a light in a dark room, darkness, what? Goes. Well, it's the same thing. It's the same thing spiritually. When you bring the light of who you are, the more time you spend with Jesus, and either one or two things are going to happen. People are going to be drawn to that or repelled by that, depending on what spirit they have, right? And so what Paul's saying here, and did I just get to verse 8? Oh, Lord Jesus, help me. Okay. For at one time you were darkness, but now you are light. Walk as children of light. We go right on to verse 9 and 10. It says this, for the fruit of light is found in all that is, three things he says, good, right, and true. Number 10, verse 10, and try to discern what is pleasing to the Lord. I love that because, you know what, I wrote that definition. I'm going to just get a little bit ahead of myself. Oh, to discern, to perceive or recognize something. He says, learn to discern. What I love about that is that doesn't come natural. Like, you have to learn. We were in New York, and my mom walked a little slower than us, so Hunter walked faster, and he thought he knew everything. So he's walking ahead of me, and I'm kind of trying to stay close to him, and so I told my dad, I said, keep my mom between us, between the two of us. And so there was a few places we would go that wasn't a big deal. There was a few places we went where my spirit became on alert. And what happened is I walked into an atmosphere that wasn't full of light. And this is not stuff I just know. It's stuff that I have to listen to my spirit on. So I would look back and I would stop and I'd tell Hunter to stop and we'd wait for my mom and I'd say, stay close. The last day my dad finally said, he said, why? Sometimes you were like, stay close and sometimes it didn't matter. And I said, because I was listening to my spirit, man. I was discerning. You don't just know that kind of stuff. You learn that. And Paul's saying that here. And try to learn to discern what pleases the Lord. Discern what your spirit man is saying. I got a little ahead of it because I missed verse 9. It says, for the fruit of light is found in all that is good and right and true. The manifest characteristics of children of light are given in what Paul here calls the fruit of light. The three supreme characteristics of this fruit. So you ask yourself, okay, so Paul's writing now to the church at Berwick, and he's saying, hey, guys, listen, you're not in darkness anymore. You're in light. Be children of light. And how do you know if you're in light? Oh, I'm going to give you three ways to know. This is a little self-check. Let's do a self-check. The first characteristic is all that is good, which refers to moral excellence, to being good in both nature and effectiveness. Always seek after that which is good for one another and for all men, Paul told the Thessalonians. In his next letter, in 2 Thessalonians, Paul prays that our God may count you worthy of your calling. Have you heard that before? And fulfill every desire for goodness and the work of faith and power. That all that is good is a fruit of light and is also a fruit of the Spirit. It's part of it in Galatians where he talks about goodness, right? It's a fruit of the Spirit. So all that is good. You know, when we talk about the glory of God too, a lot of times, what that really boils down to is all the goodness of God. And so, like, when Moses wanted to see God's glory, what he was saying was, show me your character. Show me all of your goodness, everything about you that's good. And so one of the fruit, if we are living as children of light, is that we will produce good fruit, goodness that comes from us, right? So that's one way to look. So, okay, Lord, am I producing good? What's happening in my life? Is that good? Is it pleasing to you? That's one of the ways we know. A second way we know is that the fruit would be that all that is right. It has a lot to do, first of all, with our relationship to God and how we live. Because Christ has given us his own righteous nature, we are to pursue righteousness. That's in 1 Timothy. Because we know that Christ is righteous, John says, we also know that everyone also who practices righteousness is born of him. So the right part, being right, it's righteousness. A long time ago, the Lord gave me this revelation. And so if you're taking notes, I'm going to tell you to write this down. Anytime you see the word righteousness, righteous, righteousness, in your mind you can think, you can always say that means right standing with God. That's what that, so when he says that he's given you the righteousness of Christ, he's given you how Jesus was in right standing with the Father. Jesus has given us that. So we have that. So another way then to say, am I producing fruit as a children of light, is to say, am I being right? Am I living right, which is righteous? Am I in right standing with God? Okay, so far, good, right, true is next. That's not a test that you can come to me and say, am I doing that? I mean, I can judge some fruit that's coming from you. I can't judge the heart, which is really where everything comes from. So that's a question to ask God in your quiet time. How am I doing on these three areas, God? Am I producing good? Am I being goodness? Am I being, is it what's coming out of my life, my words, my thoughts, is that good? And then am I being right, righteous? Am I in right standing with you? And then the third one is the third fruit of light is truth. Truth has to do with honesty, reliability, trustworthiness, and integrity. In contrast to the hypocritical, deceptive, and false ways of the old life of darkness. So is my life am I walking in truth? And I think I might have told y'all this, but I just had this revelation recently. We like to quote the scripture, we'll know the truth will set you free. That's what we like to say. Did I give y'all this a while back? And the first part of that, though, says you will know the truth. So you can't really be free until you know. You have to know the truth for the truth to set you free. We can all say that all day, well, the truth will set you free. Well, that's true unless you have to know the truth, though, to be set free. And so am I walking in truth? That is a byproduct of walking as children of light. And so Paul is giving them three things here to say, hey, guys, listen, he's telling us, here's how you check yourself on this. There's three characteristics here. Now, in different versions, they use different forms of that, goodness, righteousness, truthfulness. But I like this one. We see that all that is good pertains primarily to our relationship with others. Remember, that was the first one, good. So that primarily pertains to, am I being good? Is my thoughts good? Is my attitude good? Is my motives good, right? All that is right, primarily to our relationship with God. So righteous, right standing with God. Remember that? And then the truth primarily to personal integrity. So truth even goes deeper than that. It's okay, now it goes beyond that. It's who we are. It's, you know, we say integrity is who you are when no one's watching. The truth is God's always watching. And that's the integrity part. Like, am I going to be true? We were, I took my parents to New York. I'll have to tell y'all stories about that later, but they are hilarious because it's like country come to town. And so they had never been to a big city like that. And, I've been several times. So we get on the subway and I mean, it's busy, busy, busy. And so people are going in and out and some people are jumping over the thing, you know, just like on movies, you know, people. And so my dad says, so we have our little Metro cards and we scan in to go through. And right next to him, somebody jumps over. My dad said, well, if we don't have enough money on the card, how will they know if, you know, because there's no cameras. And he said, so I guess if you could just jump over. And I said, well, God will know. It's $2.75. That's not worth going to hell over, I could tell you right now. He says, no, I'm just saying, like they're never going to get caught. I was like, no, I see what you're saying. And he wasn't saying he wanted to do it. He was just saying, like, there's, you know, there should be, like, I guess cops at every, you know. But I was like, no, I guess it's just the integrity system. And they're failing at it miserably. But I said, but when I stand before God, I paid my $2.75 and I'm going through, right? And so it's integrity. It's like the things you do that I'll do it, but I won't get caught. Well, no, there's somebody, the only person who matters that you will be judged by one day that sees. Even if, I tell my boys all the time, like, even if I never know, like, God will know. And one day, you'll take some things to your grave. Look, you had boys, right? Like, some things I don't even want to know. Like, don't even ever tell me what you've done, right? But honestly, you're not going to stand before me one day. So what you're trying to get over on me, it's epic fail. Because trust me, the punishment I'll give you ain't even going to be nothing compared to what you're going to get if you don't make it right. And so we have this mentality that was humans that, well, I got away with that. We really didn't get away with anything. Because the only person who matters one day when every knee will bow and every tongue will confess sees everything. And not only sees everything, if that ain't bad enough, but he even knows the motive and the heart behind it, which is, my man, we got to always be children of light, right? Because he knows even the thoughts behind it. You know, the little boy one time said, the teacher told him to stand up and he didn't want to stand up. And you heard the story and she's like, you need to stand up. He's like, I don't want to stand up. And she said, you need to stand up or I'm going to call your mom. He said, well, I'm going to stand up, but in my heart, I'm sitting down. But that's a funny little story about a little kid. It could have been Hayden. But here's what I'm saying. We do that as adults all the time. Well, I'm going to do it because it's the right thing to do, but it's not what I want to do. I'm going to say I'm sorry because it's the right thing to do, but I'm not sorry. Now, we may not say that because we're more mature than that, right? But God even knows that. And so if we're going to be children of light, we have to shine the character of God on it and say, you know what, God, it doesn't even matter if I'm saying I'm sorry if my heart's not right. If my heart's not right, words are just words. And so God is, I think Paul here is just, he's just meddling with us and saying, God, is this not good enough to go to Lighthouse Church? It's not good enough to even be faithful. Like, God wants it all. He wants it all. He's requiring all because, you know, he gave all. He wants it all. And the truth is, I kind of did it both ways. I mean, not as bad in darkness, but, there was a point in my life where I was a little bit not as where I am now. It's just so much simpler this way. Now, I mean, I have to fight with the devil, but I have authority over him. My only enemy, I win every time. Every time. And so I'm like, you know, I could do it the other way, but I win this way. And so because I have more power, because I use it to fight right. Verse 11. Just got to stay on my notes. All right. You learning something tonight? Good. Okay, verse 11, first part of verse 11 says this, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. To take no part or participate in may also be translated to become a partaker together with others. Does this mean that the Ephesians should withdraw themselves from the men of the world, that they should become hermits and move as far as possible away from wicked men? Well, if you wanted to move away from your family, because that's sometimes where that's at, right? Not at all. They are not of the world. They're in the world, but not of the world. And yet they have a mission to fulfill. God has us here for a reason. There is nothing like, I would say this in Teen Challenge. We get sometimes accountability, the definition of that, wrong, because we think accountability is I'm going to hold you, Fabian, accountable, which means I'm going to tell you everything you've done wrong. Well, that's the wrong definition of accountability. That's totally wrong. The right definition is I'm going to live right as a child of light. And by Fabian being around me will make him want to do better because he's exposed to the light inside of me. That's accountability. Like Fabian will say, I'm not going to do that because I want to be better than that when I'm around Miss Chantel, right? That's accountability. Like you're accountable because you want to do better because you're exposed to better. And so I think we've gotten that wrong in the church world. And what Paul's saying here is take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. He's not saying get on the pew and say, hey, you're doing this and you're doing this. No, he's just saying live it. Can somebody be real and just live it? Can somebody do that? Can somebody go through this world with all of its trials and its hardships and still just be committed to God, be a child of light? Can anybody? Can we just get a witness? One person, you know? And so Paul's saying this. He's saying, listen, just expose it. Expose it by how you live. Like, do that to be better. And so when that happened, you know, sometimes I get around people that don't like to use the language that I normally use, you know? And so I don't ever. Well, sometimes if they use certain words, I will maybe sometimes say something. But most of the time, I don't ever say anything. Because I'm not going to make them children of light. They're in darkness. But the longer that they are around me, without me ever saying a word, they start noticing I don't talk like that. They start noticing I don't respond to talk like that. And before long, they'll start apologizing to me for talking like that. And I've never said a word. Okay, what's happened is I'm not perfect. And that's probably happened to a lot of you in here. What happens is they're exposed to light. And the more light we have in us that comes from God, the more darkness will have to flee, right? And so I think that's what Paul's saying here. The rest of verse 11 says this, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. For it is shameful to even speak of the things that they do in secret. But when anything is exposed by the light, it becomes visible. And that, guys, okay, that's clear for obvious big sins, right? Which is not really anything big sins, but okay, that's clear. Like, but well, here's the other thing. Let's just get into the heart of it, because we're all Christians in here. So let's just get to the heart of it. What about the things that, Tracy, can I use you as an example? Okay, so this week, last week, she had been having some thoughts that were not of God. Now, before you judge her, it wasn't bad thoughts. But she was having some thoughts that wasn't of God. And she was entertaining her thoughts, because that's where it starts right here. That's why you got to take your thoughts captive. And so she came to me this week and said, Miss Chantel, I need to talk to you about something. It wasn't even about me, but she said, I've been having these thoughts and I need to apologize. And so she tells me what it is. And I was like, well, you don't really need to apologize for that. She goes, no, I need to expose it. Because as long as I'm holding it in and thinking and trying not to think and thinking more about it, it's not going away. And so I said, and boy, there was some freedom in that, right? Exposing it. So here's what I'm going to say, guys. That had nothing to do with me. She owed me no apology for anything. But she was saying, I know the longer I keep this in darkness, the more that the enemy's going to come against me. And many a times that's what happens with us. It happens with offense all the time. Somehow an offense will come in, and instead of going to that person immediately, we will start holding it in and building up. It happened to me recently, and I had to go to this person and said, first of all, I'm sorry that I didn't come to you 4 weeks ago. And so because of that, I had some thoughts about you that were not true. See, that's a product of children of light, truth. They weren't true. And I started having these things in my mind building up, and that's the way the enemy plays on you. And then, so here's what we'll do. We'll say, well, I'm not going to go to that person. I'm just going to take it to God, which is great in our little Christianese world we live in. Except a lot of times, even taking it to God is keeping it in darkness. Because we're not really letting God expose it to light. Because that's too painful. So what we're really doing is just talking to God about it, but still keeping it close, tucked away. And God's saying, until the light is exposed on it, I can't heal that area. Until you let me have those thoughts. Until sometimes you have to confess it. Sometimes you have to go to somebody you trust and confess it out loud to get it out. So then that person can keep you accountable as far as saying, I want, that's what Tracy was doing with me. I want you to keep me in check on this. Because this area has come into my life and it's darkness and I don't want it. And she used all these exact words. I need to expose it to the light. And guys, we all need to do that. And you'll know the area. Okay, I wonder when I know. Okay, here's how you'll know the area. Because it's consuming your thoughts. It's not producing good, right, or true. You'll start knowing. And it'll usually be very personal. A very personal hurt. A lot of times, it ain't the first time that's come up, and so it'll start, like, reopening old wounds. That is not of God, and that's what the devil will use. Listen, the devil has so many tricks against the church world that we play against each other that we've made his job fairly easy. Like, he doesn't have to really mess with us too much because he just starts one little seed of thought, and then we start fighting each other, and he just steps back. And that's not light, that's darkness. And we have to know, we have to discern what pleases the Lord. And our thoughts, we have to keep them in check. Guys, I'm gonna tell you, every single sin starts with a thought. Everyone. The thought's not the sin. The not taking it captive, and it starts like a seed, starts settling in, becomes a sin, because then that starts, we start acting on it. And we start having attitudes and wrong motives. And don't, my pastor, Pastor David, you say, don't look at me with them holy eyes. You know that happens to you. I tell you, don't look at me with them holy eyes. You know we all go through that, right? To be a light to the world, our life must reflect the light of Jesus to the dark world around us. Paul tells us the fruitless works are so bad, but we are not to even mention the works. Like, we know works of darkness. He's like, don't even mention that and bring glory to that. That's not even worth bringing glory to. Don't even mention it. Just be light. We don't need to know all the, just be light. Just be the light. We were in New York City and we ended up on this back area. And I was just thinking, I thought to myself for a minute, I wonder how many sins were committed in this area. And then I said, you know what? I wonder, Lord, what do you want to do in this area? I just started praying over that area of New York City. Send the light, Lord, send the light. You know, I have some spiritual kids that are planting a church. I just started praying over that area because I was like, I'm not even going to try to think or mention what was happening here, what could have happened. All I know is that God is sending light to that city, right? And so we are, just pray for that city. Ephesians 14, for anything that becomes visible is light. Therefore, it says, awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead. And Christ will shine on you. Paul here offers an invitation, a call for those who are not children of the light to come to the light and be saved with his description, how everything that becomes visible to light is light. Light is what makes things manifest that which shows them to be exactly as they are. When sin is revealed, it loses its hiddenness, and it is sin and is seen for its ugliness it is. Listen, as there is nothing... there's nothing more freeing than a sin being exposed and being forgiven. And, you know, you think about all these things. I'm just going to use some. You know, we've counseled people who've had an affair. And it goes like this every time. I was so glad to be found out. I just couldn't carry that anymore. Because, see, that was in darkness. And even though the pain of the light sometimes is painful, it brings a healing to it. And so... we need the light. And that verse right there where it says, arise, awake, O sleeper, actually Paul is quoting Isaiah, where it says this, Isaiah 60 and 1 says this, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. Paul shows the prophetic meaning of those texts by declaring that the glory of the Lord that has risen is none other than Jesus Christ, the Messiah, for in whom Isaiah and every other godly Jew had so longed and hoped for. And so he's quoting Isaiah and he's saying that, arise and shine. Now, okay, remember Paul's talking to the Gentiles who up until this point didn't think they had any part of what the Jewish people had, remember? So he's saying, no, now you can be imitators of light. You can imitate God. You can be like God. You can be children of light. Imitate Christ. And arise. Wake up, you sleeper. Like, it's time to stand up and be the light God's called us to be. No more excuses of we can't do that. No, we have every tool to do that. And listen, guys, when you, there's a couple of things I want to say. How much time I got? Okay, so there's a couple of things. In Malachi, there's a scripture that says, the Son of God, or Son of Man, I think it says, rises with healing in his wings and beams. And so I think of that as the glory light of God coming in to heal. So any area that we have, for me, of course, I'm a little weird. Y'all going to get to know that more and more. But like even when I'm sick in my physical body, I will say, this is the first thing I say is this. Okay, what is parallel? And because I firmly believe that a lot of times what's going on in the physical realm parallels the spiritual realm. So I'll say, okay, what's happening in my physical body and how does that parallel to my spiritual, what's going on spiritual? And a lot of times there will be some revelation that'll come. Now, not that what's happening physically is not real, but a lot of times if I look at it spiritually, there's an issue spiritually that's going on that's manifesting physically. I'm not saying every time, but a lot of times. And so, again, when the Son of Man rises with healing in his wings and beams, then I'll say, Lord, let your glory light expose what's happening spiritually. So, I don't even know, this is not even any of my notes, but I think I just need to tell you this story. So, one time, I was praying about, I had a dream. And I want to teach on dreams too. Okay, so I had a dream one time, and it was in this dream, I was living in Monroe. I wasn't living in Monroe in real life, but when I lived in Monroe, I was in Monroe, and I was going to the bathroom, and it was at a Christmas party, and my sister came knocking on the door, and she said, hey, you coming out? And I said, I'm trying to come out, but I'm stuck in the bathroom. I can't, like, I'm in the bathroom, you know, can't get off the toilet. And so I was like, I don't know what's going on. And then I wake up. I was like, well, that was weird. So then about 2 weeks later, my best friend said, hey, I had this dream about you. We were in the Zalmans. She said, church was starting. Pastor Mo was looking for you, and we couldn't find you. I went, you was in the bathroom. He said, I can't come out. I can't come out yet. And she said, and then I woke up, and I was like, well, that's weird. Then I have a third dream a couple weeks later, and it's different scenario, same thing. So I was like, Lord, what are you trying to tell me? What in the world is happening? So I just couldn't let it go. I mean, I kept thinking about it, kept thinking about it, kept thinking about it. So I started researching physically what was happening to me. And what I found out was, because we have guys in the room and they're taping us, I ain't going to go into detail. But what was happening was the female body goes through a cycle each month. And it's for purification, right? If you get into all that. And so, but anyway, I'm not to spare you guys. I'm not going to. But the Lord showed me that basically what was happening, because what happens each month in the female body is if there's no reproduction happening, then there's a shedding. And so the Lord was saying to me, this is what he said to me. So after, this is about 3 months now, this process, okay, these dreams that I'm trying to figure out. And God said this to me. He said, there's been some things that you've allowed to come into your life that have not produced, reproduce healthy, productive, right? And he said, instead of you letting it take its natural course and being releasing it, it's toxic in your body. And he said, basically, you need a spiritual DNC, is what he told me. And I was like, what in the world is that? And so then he began, so I said, Lord, I had no clue. Seriously, I had no clue. And so I just started praying and fasting and saying, God, what is it? And he began to show me some things from my childhood, some things that, some soul wounds that were on my life by no fault of my own that were there. And I didn't realize, but th- there was some attitudes I had, some preconceived ideas I had that were not right, good, or true. And so he started shining his light on that. It was like when I realized that I was doing that, it was affecting my marriage. It was affecting how I parented. It was affecting how I pastored. And the Lord, but listen, there was nothing evident. Like, my marriage was good. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there was nothing evident. But I was asking God to shine his light on areas that I couldn't see. And so when he began to do that, I'll never forget. I woke up about 3:00 one morning, was at my mom's house in Franklin. And I woke up and the Lord revealed that final thing to me. And I went in the bathroom because I didn't want to wake anybody up. And I started repenting of keeping, even though it had no fault of my own, I was like, Lord, I don't want that. I don't want to carry that. I don't want that to be. I need your light of your healing to come in and begin to heal me and make me whole. And so what I realized was those wounds on my soul produced darkness. It wasn't full of light. And it was a lot of spiritual scar tissue that maybe I didn't think about, but I always knew was there. That's what happens with scars, right? It's a reminder of what happened. And so there was there. And so the Lord came in and he gave me that scripture in Malachi where he began to heal me with the light of his glory, the truth of his word. And so that was real drastic. I'm just saying like, that was a 3-month process. God was teaching me something. But there are areas, if you just begin to ask God, Lord, would you start revealing your light on the areas of my life that I can't see before Sister Chantel has to show me? I would rather you show me, Lord, than my husband. That's what I always say. Holy Spirit, could you show me? Because you know I don't want to hear it from him. You know, seriously, like, I take it much better from the Holy Spirit than anybody else trying to tell me. And the Holy Spirit wants to do that for us, but sometimes we don't let him. We get very busy in our life that we don't sit still long enough and quiet. You know, I found out, like, we don't like quiet. Our culture does not like quiet at all. We are very uncomfortable with quiet. And yet God's saying, hey, listen, when you get quiet, I'll start speaking. And so we've got to get quiet and let him begin to reveal those hidden things that you may not even know about. I had no clue about some of these things that he began to reveal to me. Some things are very obvious and we don't want to deal with. Now, that's different, okay? Some things we know about ourselves that we don't want to deal with. But I'm talking, there are things that God's saying, hey, I want you to be children of light, full of me, full of my light. And so you have to get by the light so that you can illuminate the dark world. That good? Did you learn something?
Yes.
Oh, okay, let's pray. Lord, I thank you for your glory light. I thank you, God, that we can be children of light. I thank you that we work for the kingdom of light. God, I thank you, Lord, that you've come, God, and you said, awake, O sleepers, arise and shine and be the light to the world. And God, I'm just going to believe that what Paul was saying here to the Ephesians and today to Lighthouse Community Church is that he wants us to love like you loved. He wants us to have good works, God, goodness in us, righteousness and truth, Lord, so that we can be a light to the world. God, I thank you, Lord, that you've given us creative ways to reach the lost, but God, there is no more original way than just be a light, a city set up on a hill that shines bright for you. Help us, God, to have that light. God, I release your light over your people. God, I release that, God, in every area of darkness we have in our lives, God, that your light would begin to illuminate, God, and shine. We thank you for that, God. I thank you, Lord, for what you're doing here in your people, God, and through your church. In Jesus' name, amen.